Mikey whispered in my ear, you know, he ought to leave his hearing aids off every Sunday. That was a wonderful song service that we have today, and so many visitors. One sweet lady from Oklahoma said, when I introduced myself, she said, oh, you're the guy who wasn't here last Sunday. I said, yes, that's me. And if you notice, the regular members will notice that Armando asked a young man to help on the Lord's table, and he's an A&M student, unfortunately at the main campus, not at the Galveston campus, and he's here on vacation, and he wanted to come to church. So we're glad to have that young man to be part of our service. And you know that Dr. Mark Martin and Sebia and Summer have a special place in my history and life. Mark was a junior medical student when I came to Galveston, and he was one of the three people that most influenced me to decide to come and be part of this congregation. And over the 48 years, we have remained very, very close, like brothers. And they're with us this weekend, and we're so glad for that. We know that Jesus taught us not to worry about our lives. He said, don't worry about your life, what you shall wear, what you shall put on, even what you shall eat. But that's much easier said than done, isn't it? The future is filled with uncertainty, and there are dangerous experiences possible for every one of us. Young people may feel bulletproof, but those of us who have passed through the youthful stages of life know we are not bulletproof. In fact, we oftentimes feel like we're walking targets. Diseases and accidents may intrude without warnings, and there are anxieties that are legitimate. And these anxieties cannot be dismissed by some unrealistic denial. Most of us are familiar with the book of Job, how after he lost everything, all of his possessions and all of his family, Job did not refuse God. That he said in the most noble way, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But there are other statements that he made that I have found and related to. In the third chapter of the book of Job, verses 25 and 26, maybe you can relate to this to some event in your life. What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. We do not often think of Job as having expressed such ideas. As one gets older, one feels anxieties about declining physical and mental health. Abraham received a wonderful promise of God, and we'd like to have that same benediction. God told Abraham, "You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age." What we need to do is have a life of faith. How can I develop the trust that's necessary to have a life of faith? I'm going to suggest some practical ways in which this is possible for you and for me. They are tools that I use personally, and even though I cannot escape the times of in which I'm very concerned about something or worried about something, these are things that have helped me, and so I share them with you. Number one is memorizing or marking calming statements that come from the Holy Scriptures. One that I repeat most often is Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah said, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixed on thee, because they trust in you." Think about that. You will keep in perfect peace. And oftentimes, when I'm anxious about something, I remind myself to remind God, "Keep me in perfect peace because my mind is fixed on you." The familiar 23rd Psalm embraces the same kind of optimism and helpfulness. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul." You do know that the same word in the Greek language for temptation is often used and means the same as a trial. Sometimes it is used to refer to an inducement to do wrong. That's temptation. But other times it simply refers to the trials that we face in our daily lives. I want to read 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 13, where this one word, temptation or tempted, is used. I'm going to substitute the usual translation of the word in this text is temptation, but that too often is limited in our own understanding to the idea of temptation to do wrong. I'm going to use and substitute the word trial, because that's what we have in our lives, are many trials. Let me read you 1 Corinthians 10:13 with that understanding. "No trial has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you can bear. But when you are tried, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." I think for a Christian, that's a great promise. And so you affirm these promises from Scripture of the Lord giving us this peace that we so urgently need. The other way that is very helpful to cope with these seizures of anxiety is to know the gospel songs. Recently, Marianne Alone came back from Ireland just in time to spend the last few days with her sister who was dying. And Marianne told me that the last 2 days especially were very meaningful of her sister's life. Marianne had two sisters, so there were three McGinty girls that have grown up in the church. And those 2 days, those three sisters just sat in the room where one was desperately ill, and they all just sang gospel hymns, and they would know them from heart, and they got through that terrible time of transition for one sister by being embraced, by embracing the gospel songs. Sometimes we sing the songs and we don't know what prompted the writer to write the words or the circumstances in which the hymn is written. One of the most comforting songs that we learned as a child was "Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." It was written by a professor of Bible, and in a very short time he had received notice from two of his students that their wives had died, and he sat down to write some condolence to these two men. And he happened to be reading in the book of Deuteronomy, and he read verse 27 of chapter 33. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And that song, you will remember the words as I say them. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Sometimes just remembering that phrase, safe and secure from all alarms, will protect our hearts and our minds. One of my favorite songs has been a hymn written by a Scottish clergyman, Abide With Me. And whenever we sing that song, I remember the story behind it. The author of that song was dying from tuberculosis. And he was in his bed dying from tuberculosis. And he wanted to write a song. And he wrote the song only 3 weeks before he died. And he wrote the song after reading the 24th chapter of Luke. That's the chapter that tells the story of Jesus after the resurrection on the way to Emmaus with two disciples. And as they ended the day in verse 29, these two people from Emmaus said, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent." And here are the words that Francis Light wrote. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Isn't that a wonderful way of thinking of the Lord? The help of the helpless. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changes not, abide with me. Learning the words to our most common gospel songs, remembering the words from Scripture, and a third suggestion is to affirm the promises of God. Now, the 34th Psalm is kind of a long psalm, but there are portions of it that speak directly to this point. I'm going to read them to you out of the 34th Psalm. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And then verse 6, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. Verses 17 to 19. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we may endure and our lives be saved. These promises of God. There is a statement in the Old Testament that the Apostle Peter repeats in the New Testament. It's 1 Peter 5 and 7. It's easy to remember. It's one of my favorites, and I use it often in the darkness of the night when thoughts of troubles keep me awake. Cast all your anxiety upon the Lord, because he cares for you. And that's a good way to close sometimes your thoughts at night You can just say, Lord, I've just put all my cares on you, and I know you care for me, because that's the promise. Another verse to remember and promise is this one. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Most of us have asked for so much in our lives that we find it difficult to think of there being something that we haven't imagined that we wanted, that we haven't already asked him about. But here's the promise that no matter how much we may feel the need for something, he is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or all that we imagine. Suggestion number 4, reflect on your past personal experiences. Remember when David had appeared to accept the challenge of Goliath, and Saul, the king, was telling David that he was too young and he would not be able to meet the challenge of Goliath. And here's the response that David said to Saul. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. What was David doing? He was calling upon his past experiences. And you and I have had past experiences in which deliverance from our troubles came in a surprising way that we never imagined possible, but they came. And David is remembering and saying, if I've had those past experiences, then I can depend on him for the present. The Apostle Paul did something similar when he wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about what happened to us and the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were despairing of life. We thought that we were under great pressure, and it was far beyond our ability to endure. So we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us with your prayers. Look on your experiences in life and remember those times when perhaps you felt that you had received the sentence of death. It was such a terrible event, and that you were somehow delivered from that. And he hasn't saved us from past storms in order that we might be destroyed in a present storm. These are some ideas that I wanted to share with you this morning. Because even though we tell you, don't worry about the future, don't be concerned about thoughts of anxiety, we sometimes need some help to cope with them. And these are the things that I use personally and that I wanted to share with you, that you may benefit from them as well. This morning, we never know the hearts of those who might be present, and whether you are subject to the invitation of Christ to confess your faith and to be baptized. But we always want to give you that opportunity. Or if you have a special prayer request, we want to give you that opportunity to let us know. While we stand to sing this song, we invite you to come to the front if we can help.
Come for the table now to spread. Yeah.